Thank you, Father. Lord, we just thank you for another great time with you and all the brothers and sisters. Praise you, Father, for everything that you're going to do tonight for us, in us, and through us, Lord. We praise you, Lord, that we do have an open heaven and that the heavens have been opened up for our prayers, that when we pray, we know the answer because we trust you to back up what your word says, all the promises you've given us. And I praise you and I thank you for it, Father. It's nothing about us that has to be done other than just believe what your word says. Lord, we thank you that tonight's going to be an awesome time talking about the Romans and Paul. And Father, we just praise you and glorify you for that book, one of the best in the New Testament, in my opinion. And I praise you and glorify you, Father, for all that you're going to do tonight. I thank you, Lord, that every prayer that we prayed up to this point has been answered. And I thank you, Lord, that tonight any prayers that are said will be answered as well. Because we believe. We're believers. That's what we are. We are believers. We're not so-called Christians. We are believers of the word. And if the word says it, bless God, we do it. And we thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Lord, I just want to lift up Andy to you. I praise you, Father, for bringing him out of this spirit of infirmity called cancer. I thank you, Lord, he is healed. I don't care what the doctors say. I don't care what anybody say. And Andy is healed. And I thank you, Lord, that there is no fear in Andy. There's no fear in his wife, Gina. And I praise you, Father, for complete restoration in his body. And I thank you, Lord, that you have making a mighty man of God out of him, that this testimony he's going to have, he already has, is going to go throughout the world. And I praise you, Father, for it. Jesus' mighty name. Many people will be affected by it. In the name of Jesus, Lord, you can do mighty wonders in the things that we don't understand a lot of time because we haven't been taught. A lot of people haven't been, a lot of so-called Christians haven't been taught that you can still heal. There ain't nothing in the word says that you can't do that anymore because you can. We've seen it happen many times. And we praise you and glorify you, Father, for a complete restoration. Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Anybody else? Lord, I thank you for the prayers that I pray for other people today have already been answered. Have already been answered, and I thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. Praise God forevermore. Woo, he's an awesome God. Anybody not believe that? Raise your hand. We'll pray for you. Okay, Nick, we'll have to pray for you. Go ahead, brother.
Yeah, our washer quit on us.
Your clothes washer, your dishwasher.
Yeah.
Both of them?
Just the washing machine.
Is that your clothes washer?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. You ready? You want to get it fixed, huh?
Yeah.
Okay. Let's pray for it. You going to believe with me?
Yeah.
Okay. In the name of Jesus right now. I command that clothes washer to be healed and to wash every clothes put to it from this point on in a good way. And I thank you, Father, that he's not going to have to walk around in dirty clothes anymore. That washer is fixed, glory to God. And we thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. I believe it. Glory to God, that clothes washer is fixed. Praise God. Amen. It's done.
Amen.
Okay, anybody else? help, Missy.
Trying to think how I should do this. Well, just I just want to praise and thank the Lord that these teachings that David has been teaching Merle via video and Bible studies, that they are getting through. They're anointed. The Spirit of God is speaking to Merle, and that he's having a change of mind. And I just praise you and I thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that he's really listening and he's really paying attention. And I know, Lord, that he's really thinking about, Lord, what he's hearing. And I just praise you and I thank you, Lord. I thank you, Lord, that for pouring out your Spirit upon him, Lord, and giving him a fresh filling of your Spirit, Lord, and a renewed mind and eyes to see and ears to hear, and that he has your heart and your walk and your works, Lord, and that he speaks as an oracle of God, and that he has the mind of Christ. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord, for this transforming work you're doing in our lives. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Yeah, Marianna.
Hello, it's me, Isaac.
Hi, Isaac.
Hey, guys. Hello. I don't know what's going on with my computer. It doesn't let my audio, so I got calling on the phone. But I just wanted to see if anybody wanted to join me in praising the Lord for what he's doing for this baby and Marissa's having. I just wanted to thank him for a healthy baby. So I'm just going to, if y'all want to thank me or thank, that sounds terrible. Y'all want to thank the Lord with me, you know, just thank the Lord. Yeah, okay. That's what I'm trying to get out. Thank you, dear Jesus, for a healthy baby. Thank you, Father. You are God that hears our prayer and Father has prepared their hearts, Father, for such a, for the truth, Lord, because they know the word. And Lord, we thank you that your word is truth, Lord. And we thank you for just for doing that, confounding the doctors, Lord, because you do use the simple to confound the wise, Lord. And that's so beautiful about this. And thank you for showing yourself strong in their lives with the visions and the dreams and the word and just, yeah, it's awesome, Lord. We're super excited. In Jesus' name, amen.
Yes, we praise you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Glory, hallelujah. We praise you, Lord. Jesse, you go home in Jesus' name. Glory, hallelujah. Praise God forever. Ooh, yes, that's done, Isaac. It's done. Glory to God. All right. Anyone else? Go ahead, Missy.
I'm sorry. I'm not clear on something. Did Marissa have the baby yet?
Okay. Yeah.
Praise the Lord. Thank you, Lord, for a healthy baby.
Nice, big, healthy baby.
Thank you, Jesus.
Yeah, go ahead, Benita.
Yeah, I didn't know for sure either. And that, are there any details, weight and size or anything like that, or no details yet? Okay, she's doing good. Marissa's doing great.
Yep.
Amen.
Mama and baby doing well.
Okay, good news.
Praise God. Thank you, Lord. Praise God forevermore. Oh, that baby's going up. Jesus' name. All right. Anyone else? I'm leaving. Lord God, I just want to get up and dance because I know what's happening now. Praise God. All right. Anybody else? Hey, Joe. What's up, dude? All right. I have a praise song, one that Missy sent me. I hadn't heard that song in a long time. Let's see if I can get her going here.
Sometimes hallelujah, sometimes praise the Lord, sometimes gently singing our hearts in one accord. Look toward the sky and start to sing. Oh, let us now return His love. Just let our voices ring. Oh, let us feel His presence. Let the sound of praises fill the air. Oh, let us sing the song of Jesus' love. You can sing a little louder.
That was a good one. I like that old song. Yeah, Missy.
I happened to come upon that, and I hadn't heard that in years. I can't tell you when the last time I heard that, but I don't know. I know I remember hearing it when I was a kid, but it was from back in the Jesus movement, for anybody that doesn't know. And I was just like, wow. I don't know if I remember hearing it on the radio or if I think it caught on to being sung in churches and stuff, but it was just like, wow, what a take back, you know, take you back to, geez. But it is a really good song.
Yeah, I like it. I like it. I remember the song, and I wasn't even a Christian when I heard that many years ago. All right, anyone else? Well, we can go into Romans again tonight. Let me find it. Okay, I think we left off. Did we say five? Did we touch on five, verse five? I thought that was where we left off. I'm not sure. I know we did four. We can go over four again if you'd like. Romans 1 and 4 says, who was declared to be the Son of God with power, talking about Jesus, according to the Spirit of holiness, by the resurrection from the dead, even Jesus Christ our Lord. All right, anybody got anything they'd like to add onto that particular verse there? Who was declared to be the Son of God with power? By whom was he declared to be the Son of God with power? Somebody answer me that. Yeah, Dick, go ahead.
The Father.
Okay. Five. Anybody else got anything they'd like to add? Yeah, Judy.
He was declared to be a Son of God with power by the Holy Scriptures of the prophets.
According to the Spirit of holiness, is that what you're saying?
Well, yeah, it's like in verse 2 it says, promised afore through the prophets in the Holy Scriptures. So it was through the word of God, the prophets, everything that was written of him, spoken of him, that he was declared to be the Son of God with power.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was definitely God who, you know,
yeah.
God the Father.
Maybe.
Yeah.
All right. Anybody else got anything they want to add to it? Now, I want everybody to be involved in this book study of Romans. So if you've been studying it, you should have some questions or some answers about these things. Don't be shy. This is for everybody. Who was declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness, by the resurrection from the dead, even Jesus Christ our Lord. What's he talking about? The resurrection from the dead. What's he talking about there? Somebody was somebody. Now, this ain't going to go very far if we don't get some interaction. Barry, go ahead.
Well, Jesus said, about this resurrection of the dead, Jesus said he had the power to lay down his life. He had the power to raise it up again. And that's that shows the power that's spoken of there, where it's declared, to be the Son of God in power. So I think those two are connected.
Amen. Yeah. Amen. According to the spirit of holiness, Bible resurrection from the dead, even Jesus Christ our Lord. Who raised him from the dead? Holy Spirit, wasn't it? Raised him from the dead, sent him up to heaven at the right hand of the Father. He often talked about that. Paul did. Often talked about that. Spirit that raised him from the dead is the Spirit in us. The same Spirit in us. The Holy Spirit. By the resurrection from the dead, even Jesus Christ our Lord, through whom, I'm going to go on to 5, through whom we received grace and apostleship unto obedience of faith among all the nations for his name's sake. Mouthful. All right, does anybody want to comment on what I just read? These first 7 verses, what are they telling us? Can anybody tell me that? Go ahead, Ben.
I'm just seeing it kind of as like an introduction of as who to Paul is. He's sort of just claiming like his title, who he is, like why this is happening, who he comes from, and just kind of like a whole introduction to this letter to the fellow brothers and sisters in Romans. That's what I'm getting.
Yeah, that's what he's doing. He's telling them, look, this is who I am. This is who you are also. He's telling you who you are and what he is too. These first 7 verses. It's kind of an introduction to him, like Ben said. Praise God. But there's a lot in there. Through whom we receive grace and apostleship unto obedience of faith among all the nations for his name's sake. Go ahead, dear.
Did he say me?
Well, he said Ben, but had your hand up.
Yeah, well, I was just going to say that it's a past tense received grace. Through whom we, so that's the apostle, and us, and whoever else is there at the time when he said it. So it's a we, you know, it's not a gaming system, but you are to the Lord's joypad. But this is a different gaming system here. We're all part of this game. And received grace. And I wouldn't be too surprised if some people reading this who might actually think that they're going to be apostles, but you know, over there in the other place, he gave to some apostles, prophets, teach. Does this mean we're all apostles? It says that in another verse in Corinthians. So where it talks about the spiritual gifts, that doesn't mean we're all apostles. Some people might actually deduce and say, oh, you know, I'm excited the Lord's going to make me an apostle. Well, that's what we're shooting for, but we have that potential. But of course, it's the Lord who picks the apostles, because that's what it says over there in Corinthians. So I think it's Corinthians anyway. And
Yeah, go ahead, Theo.
I do like these seven verses. It's like, it sums up Christianity. You know, it's being addressed to the Gentiles, which are us. We are to be Jesus Christ's, as it says in the verse 6. You know, we are called to be Jesus Christ's. And then he offers us grace and peace, because that's the only way we're going to fulfill this, is through grace. And we are sons of God, just like Paul, through faith, which is a gift. In obedience of faith among all the nations for his name's sake. I mean, this is a really awesome little paragraph that sums up who we are. We are Christ's seed. Christ through in us. I mean, it's got it all here. It's not addressed to the Jews. It's addressed to all that are in Rome.
Yeah.
So it's to us. It's to the Gentiles. Praise the Lord.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, look at verse 7. Go ahead, Peter.
Oh, this is good. We are all called to be apostles.
Yep.
And our gospel is Jesus. That's it. That is our gospel of God. Yep. Which has been promised since the beginning through all his prophets. It's really a cool little paragraph. So much is in here. Is. Yep. It's amen.
Pretty deep. Yes, it is. Glory be to God. Yeah, it says in verse 5, through whom we received grace and apostleship, talking about Paul, unto obedience of faith among all the nations, for his name's sake. Among whom are ye also called to be Jesus Christ. What is called to be? David's taught us that. We was invited, right? We're invited to be like Jesus. To all that are in Rome, beloved of God, called to be saints. What saints mean? Holiness, yeah. Holiness, sanctification. That's what it is. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Accept that in the name of Jesus. Okay, anybody else want to? Yeah, go ahead, Ben or Andrew.
We received grace and apostleship unto obedience. Now, we don't feel forced, but it's by love. That's agape love, obedience. Of Christ's called ones, to all that are in Rome, beloved of God, called saints. Unto obedience of faith among all nations, for his name's sake. So for it's his name's sake, that's, he's giving us his name, character, and his nature, character, and authority, sorry. And so it's for the sake of the new man, or the new name, the new, what's name in Greek again?
Anoma.
Anoma. It's for that anoma that's within us. It's for the sake of that, not for the sake of our own selves, but it's for that whole collection of the Christ's body, the anoma of his name through all of us.
Nature character.
Because if you look at the word name, it has that, I'm terrible with punctuation, but it has that where it belongs to that. That punctuation.
Names.
Apostrophe. The names, apostrophe. Apostrophe. So it's that name's sake. It's not for a singular person, but it's for the whole collection or body of people. It's all for that, because that's Christ now. He's corporate. Among whom you're also called one, which we went over, to all that are in Rome, beloved of God, called saints. Yeah.
I'd like to add that unto obedience of faith, that's your faith that worketh love, as it says in Galatia. And this word sake, you know, there are other places where you'll see that word sake, both for the negative and the positive. But this word sake is in the blessings of Matthew. He gives you the blessed are the, he gives you the righteousness, and then you get cursed for his namesake. But blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness, for his namesake. You know, it's in Matthew 5 and 10. So. He gives you the righteousness, and then blessed they that have been persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of the heavens. But blessed are those. There's a. You know, it's also in another place in Matthew 24:9, where they deliver, and therefore they shall deliver you up for his name's sake to be hated and killed of all the nations for his name's sake. And some of the stuff that's going on now is verifying. That word sake is in a lot of places. Sometimes if you just go to your concordance and look up that singular word, you can get a lot of information on it. And that's about it. You know, that and because it's a different name, you have a different nature. And you know, people can sense this nature. They come against you because they have a different spirit on them, and they know you have this different namesake. The spirits that are in people can sometimes turn them against you. Even for instance, I can give you an example that happened to me at my workplace. We were having a meeting at my work, talking about something, and I mentioned one word, the word grace, and because I mentioned that word, one of the people that was there who I knew had a demon spirit on her, she attacked me because I said that word, and she was a person that had a particular type of spirit on her, that she even quoted a Bible verse to me, but didn't quote the whole verse. And it's just because I said that one word. And she did it in front of a whole crowd of people, actually. And the friend who witnessed it actually said, "What was going on there?" And I said, you know, it's just a 5-letter word. And that's why the whole attack happened on me. I kept my composure, and that was when I was still fairly new in the Lord too. Sometimes wondering why these things would happen, because I didn't really know. And so that's just it. So you can get verification from some of the journey you went on. Sometimes the Lord wants you to review some of it too. When you read the word, you might be able to review some of the stuff that you went through, and he actually kept you through it, which is really exciting. Praise God.
That's right. You can mention some words and it'll trigger a word. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Go ahead, Joe.
Verse 5, it says, through whom we receive grace and apostleship. Jesus was sent by the Father full of grace and truth, but that was only manifested through the Holy Spirit. The same as our Father sent Jesus, so he sent us for the Christ in us with grace and truth to spread the gospel. Thank you.
Thank you. Go ahead, Mary.
Yeah, back to verse 5. For his name's sake, in that particular place, name is not plural. That indicates possessive. The apostrophe indicates possessive. So it's for the sake of Jesus Christ that these things were done. It's to glorify him. And it came because of him. So it's for his name's sake. So he gets glorified in this.
Yeah. Thank you, Father. Yeah, go ahead, Benita.
Just the couple words where he says all nations. That really stuck out to me. David had just done a teaching about, you know, we've got the Edomites, the Moabites, the Palestinians, the Afghans, and, you know, we listen in the media or hear in the media, these people are bad and they're against the good people. And yet it's among all nations. We've got people in all those nations that are, you know, have the grace and apostleship. We have no enemies in all those nations. They're all part of the one body. Amen.
Go ahead, Theo.
I just want to share a little testimony. Kind of piggybacking off of Vinita, what she just said. There's a guy out in Hyderabad, India, and he was working with me on a project. And he was a Christian guy. And I was like, wow, that's the first one I bumped into from India that was a Christian. And we were discussing, you know, the whole Russia thing, Ukraine. And he was like, yeah, you gotta go fight and defend your borders and stuff. And I was like, whoa, wait a minute. Did you say you were a Christian? And he said, well, yeah, but you have to, you know, defend your borders and this and that. And because you won't have a country, you won't be able to, you know, we won't be able to worship the Lord. And I was like, so you're going to go to war and kill another Christian so that you can be a Christian. And he's just like, oh, man, I got that all wrong, didn't I? That was it. So praise the Lord. It was a pretty cool little experience. He changed his mind quickly. He said, you know what? You're right. We are not to be warring against the flesh, against these imaginary borders, because it says all nations, just like Benita said. Amen.
What's interesting is that he had sense enough to believe and to and humbled enough to receive it. That's awesome. Thank you, Father. Glory to God. All right, anyone else? Yeah, Barry or Marilyn?
Yeah, just getting back to what Theo was saying, an example for somebody like that that wants to, you know, engage that kind of thing. If that were the case, if that were Christianity, Jesus would have been a ringleader of rebelling against the Romans who are occupiers in the land that he lived in. So that's another thing to help with the education of those folks.
That's a good point. Thank you, Father. Amen. He jumped on Peter for whacking that guy's ear off, didn't he? Go ahead, Andrew.
I guess he would have been an earless person then, if it was okay. And so all nations and, yeah, it says somewhere else also that that this book has to be published in all nations, and you know, most nations have one or two different languages, but it could be published in the one main language of a nation, because usually people talk to each other anyway in the different languages in some of these nations. So I think it is published in all these nations. There was an indigenous group of people here in Canada. One of them was a very smart chief. He went to university, and he made his own alphabet and language. And even they have the Bible already translated into that new alphabet. You wouldn't recognize this alphabet because it doesn't look anything like ours. And they have the Bible translated for their people. And they learn both English and that language. I forget what group of people it is here in Canada. So it's just a very recent new language within my lifetime that's been now in printed form. And they even have a Bible. So this is something they didn't have all their generations. He just made an alphabet for their language, and which is quite a feat and a hard thing to do. And one of the first things they translated was the Bible into that new language, the brand new alphabetical language thing. So just giving you some insight there on that. Praise the Lord God.
That sounds like the same type of story that we got here locally of the Tanasi Indians. They had a great chief that did the same thing. Very same thing. It made the alphabet, got a museum right down here that talks about all of that. Pretty awesome. Smart people in there. If I'm not mistaken, Andrew, up in Canada, they have an indigenous group there that the government went in and stole all the kids and killed a bunch of them. At some point in time, I don't know. I think they wanted to steal the land, if I'm mistaken. And I could be. But I read a little bit of something about that the other day. Go ahead, Missy.
Well, I know the Catholics killed a lot of indigenous Canadians.
Yeah. All right. Isaac?
Hello. yeah, I don't mean to get off of Romans chapter 1. But I was just thinking on what... everybody was saying, you know, Jesus said, told Pilate, if my kingdom is of this world, then would my disciples fight, right? And also, you know, they tried the Pharisees, and I'm not sure if it was the Herodians, I don't really remember, but they tried to get Jesus and prove the point that he was a zealot, right? Because all the zealots were rebellious against the government. And that's why they went up to him with a denarius, and they said, should we give, they said, good teacher. He said, we believe this thou, I'm paraphrasing, so bear with me. They said, we believe this, thou would respect not the person of man. And then they asked him, should we give tribute unto Caesar? Now, if he would have said no, that they'd had two witnesses and proved their case that he's rebelling against Caesar and proved the point that he was a zealot and that he was trying to start an insurrection. Now, keep in mind, too, and this is something I always thought was interesting. Of course, he said, and I always thought about that, even to the point of even tithing. He didn't say, well, take a tenth of it and give it to God. He didn't say that either. He just said, give. He said, whose symbol is on it, right? The world understands the symbol of man. And he said, give Caesar what's Caesar's and God's what's God's. Well, here's the funny part, too, is that also when who did the Pharisees call for when Pilate had Jesus and wanted to let him go? They called for Barabbas. They didn't call for Jesus. And Barabbas was a murderer, but he was a zealot also. And you'll see, I think we'll see in these days that the churches will align themselves with their borders and they will align themselves with their countries like time has passed. And they will call for the patriotic Christians, you know, country first, God second type of deal. I don't know. I always thought that was super interesting. So the whole point is, I don't know. I was just tagging on. Anyways, I should probably get back off of that and maybe Romans chapter 1.
Well, that's true. You've got the whole denominations out there that are patriotic to the flag. And they also have a Christian flag, you know, kind of like David a bit. Where'd they get that at? But anyway, anybody else? All right, let's go on here to verse 8. First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all, that your faith is proclaimed throughout the whole world. Well, why is he thanking God for you all because of their faith proclaimed throughout the whole world? Does anybody know? Yeah, Andrew.
Well, you know, there's a Colosseum in Rome, and I don't know if they were starting to do that there at that time when this was written, but even though we know that the Christians were not liked, because what it says over there in Corinth, that they suffered from their own countrymen, as the Jews did from theirs. So I would assume something was also going on in Rome at the time, seeing as he went to Corinth, according to the what it says in the book of Acts, that he went to Corinth before he went to visit Rome. So, you know, in the days of Polycarp, because they had these Colosseums all over the place, there was also one in the second city in the Smyrna. That's where Polycarp, I think, died in that Colosseum they had in that city. But someone actually had to go and say, can we have the body to bury? And of course, you know, that would take some faith to do that, because they'll know you're a Christian and you can be the next show. And so the Lord would definitely speak to this person that you could go collect the body now, and so we can bury Polycarp a decent burial, as well as all the other martyrs that were murdered. So that could be one reason. And actually, you're what it says in 1 Timothy 6:12, you're supposed to fight the good fight of the faith. And this collates with this verse that he prays for them because of this faith that of the people who were in Rome was known all over the world. So you fight the good fight of the faith, you lay hold on eternal life, whereunto you were called and didst confess the good confession before many witnesses. And we know what witness means. We know that there's a martyros sometimes involved with that, but there is also a reason why you go to a cross, your own cross too, because you have to die to self. And sometimes you have to have people around you to be your flesh killer. So
to the martyr's crown.
Yeah, and it's also the martyr's crown, which is a crown, of course, that Jesus had also. They even mocked him with a crown. So. Which would, you know, there's a parallel to his crown. So, and I know y'all know it anyway. So that's one of the reasons anyway that, and of course it shows forth that prayer is very important. because he says, I thank God. So he's thanking for his brethren. And he's thanking him for his brethren because sometimes someone might say some little things that are kind of nice little nuggets of understanding you can pick up when we have fellowship together. So we thank the Lord for this. And you know, people would say things and they really are glorifying the Lord in their little witness or supplications. And sometimes you really have to think and listen very carefully. So praise God. I hope you heard me.
Yeah, we heard you. That's good. Thank you, Father. Did anybody know when Romans was written? I believe I read somewhere where it was between the years of 57 and 58 A.D. I think that's what I read. Does anybody hear anything different now? Okay, we'll go with that. Praise God. Well, why did he say that your faith is proclaimed throughout the whole world? All right, we'll come back to that one later. Yeah, Nick, go ahead.
Because first we were sinners and then we were saved through him.
Okay. Well, that's a good answer. All right, let's see. Verse 9, for God is my witness, whom I serve in my spirit in the gospel of his Son, how unceasingly I make mention of you, always in my prayers, making requests if by any means now at length I may be prospered by the will of God to come unto you. I think those two verses go together. Is anybody getting anything out of this? What do you think about that? For God is my witness, whom I serve in my spirit in the gospel of his Son. The good news of his Son. How unceasingly I make mention of you. Always in my prayers, making requests. If by any means now at length I may be prospered by the will of God to come unto you. Anybody want to expound on that a little bit?
Well, going back to your question about verse 8, that your faith is proclaimed throughout the whole world. Well, the known world at that time. And the Romans were like the world rulers. You know, the Romans were like the beast at the time. They ruled the world. So I think that's part of the reason why their faith was proclaimed throughout the whole world.
Okay.
If that makes any sense.
Yeah, that makes sense. Yeah, Julie.
I believe too, what Missy was saying about the whole world thing, but also that disciples were scattered after his death and the crucifixion and all that, and they were scattered and they were sent. Jesus sent them all out, and I don't know when this was, when Paul went to Rome, in relation to how long ago it was when all that happened, how many years ago it was exactly, or that, you know, who all went where after that, because they were sent, because Jesus sent the disciples out throughout the whole world, so that there were people obviously who had gone to Rome ahead of Paul.
Yep, amen. Yeah, makes sense. Let me go ahead, Andrew.
Well, the whole world, and you know, Christianity is pretty new here. It was 150 years before this when the Roman Empire started to conquer the Greek Empire. And because this is a new covenant and something new that's happening now, and the recent exchange from the copper Grecian Empire to the Iron Rome one, and this is the first chance that the iron gets to have some sort of interaction with the New Covenant people too, the Christians. And just like we're on the dawn of something else happening today, where we would have, I think, you know, they talk about the Dark Ages, but we're having a time cup we're probably going to come to that's even going to be darker than the Dark Ages. Because we're also coming to a change for iron and clay, and so that could be another good example as a type or allegory for our day. So I've just decided to mention that, and not only that, Ben was saying that Paul also went to the Philippians. And he was being glorified there for some of the Praetorian Guard. You see, he was in prison, and so he was at that point in time a person from Rome, because he had a Roman citizenship. So there could be something in that too. So. So that he was under arrest with really no charges against him. I believe they set him free, and then they made up some new charges. No doubt the same charges as having a different king that he wasn't supposed to have, and the same charges that was over the cross of Jesus. And of course, he claimed him as king, even though Jesus never said he had a kingdom that was of this world, right to Pontius Pilate. So we have a king, we have the same kingdom. So there's throughout the whole world, you know. So it should have been the same to this day throughout the whole world also. I kind of believe that. And it should be the same today, because we are still in going to be some sort of iron, because the iron goes right through to the end. But you can see the mixture of the nations now, that some of the nations aren't even iron; they're clay nations, and they're coming across the border over there in Europe. You know, there are people from all over the world and all over the nations. You know, there are people from the West living in China, and you wouldn't classify them as an iron nation, but a clay nation. It's not anything demeaning. It's just like there is gold, and that principality still exists today, but it doesn't have dominion. There's a new dominion coming, and they've been promising us peace in the New World Order since the late 1940s, and I don't think we've had that peace. So I don't think they even know the definition of the word, because it's the third fruit of the Holy Spirit, and it's also a blessing in the nine blessings. So there's quite a few things you can see here that are similar to today. And of course, we are we are to have this faith also to be claimed throughout the whole world as a parallel. Praise and glory to God.
Amen. All right, anyone else? Yeah, Benita.
Yeah, I was just going to say on verse 9, where he says, "Who I serve with my spirit in the gospel of his son, that without ceasing I make mention of you always in my prayers." That's just a good exhortation and example for us to be praying without ceasing for brethren around the world also. Amen.
Yeah, absolutely. We should be praying every day. Should be praying for the brothers. Should be praying for our situation, and God to do the things that he wants to do in us. All of great things. What is he talking about? I'm just going to throw some questions out there and try to get some answers from y'all. When he says, "For God is my witness, whom I serve in my spirit in the gospel of his son." Whom I serve in my spirit in the gospel of his son. Can somebody, yeah, go ahead, Debbie.
Hi, everyone. Well, you know, we say we're going to pray for people sometimes, and we don't maybe pray for them. And he was affirming to them that God knows. I do. I say I'll pray for you, and I do pray for you. And so it's probably about the prayers of Paul that had them, you know, do all they did and spread the word as far as they did. God was the witness. He knew that he could say, I do pray for you. I don't just say I will. Maybe.
Amen. All right.
That's a good exhortation for us too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anybody else? He wants us to serve him in the spirit, not the flesh, always, doesn't he? Go ahead, Andrew.
You know, sometimes the Lord, I just want to give an example of this, how this service comes to pass. And I told Ben earlier today that God reminded me of something that he did to me when I was a real young Christian, and actually brought some really great joy and comfort to me. Because, you know, sometimes when you look at your past, you go, man, I didn't really know anything back there. I gotta be careful. I was at my workplace, and this was maybe when I was in my 30s. And I saw these two, of course, I used to work for a university, and in the back of the university there's this fountain, you know, they have water there, and it's a small swimming pool size, you know, but it's pretty big, you know, maybe 30 by 30. And I noticed these two people coming towards me, because we were outside, I had my lunch outside, it was a nice sunny day, in September, and these two people were coming towards me, and the Lord just put something on my head. You got to get out of here, Andrew. There's going to something go down here that's not really nice. And so I took off into the building and went downstairs, and there's no windows in the basement, so I didn't know what happened. And when I was down there, the guy who witnessed to me a few years prior to this, he came up to me and he said, Andrew, how did you know something was going to happen there that was wrong? You know, and what these two young students did was they had their birthday suit on and they went swimming in the fountain. And he said, how did you know that was going to happen? And I said, I don't know. And the church I was in at the time, I don't even think they'd be able to explain it to me, but it was an external discernment of some bad spirit thing that was going to be manifesting. And the Lord reminded me of that yesterday. And of course, the guy who witnessed to me told me what happened. You know, he was curious as to why that would happen to me. And I go, I don't know. And it could be kind of making you think some real bad things about yourself. But, you know, it just happened. And of course, he made the discernment and he made the call that these two gentlemen liked each other a lot. I'm just trying to be careful because I know there might be some kids listening. And I know you understand what I'm talking about. Yeah, so he had a discernment too about these, but his was more through the sight of what he actually saw. But I was spared it, and I don't really want to see stuff like that anyway. I don't like really to see any kind of stuff live like that happening in front of me. And it does, you know, even other stuff, you know, so I prayed about that, and I asked the Lord to show me what to fine tune this a bit more in me, so that I can have it so now with a better understanding. Whereas when I had it back then, I was just like, whoa, what is this, you know, because I had no understanding about spiritual things back then. And so that is true. I also find that when you're studying and you read things, you know, you might find yourself praying not just for yourself to understand this stuff, but for all your brethren too, from what he just taught you in your Bible studies. So that's a good time to do prayer there too. So. And that I do believe is also led by the Lord, because you're in the Word at that time. And when we have fellowships like this, you have to pray too, because you can actually get some stuff from the other brethren when they're speaking. And even like Bible studies off of David Eales and Michael Hare, you know, you have to pray too. And even though sometimes you might just think it's a big review, things you've already heard before, you should still pray about it, because the Lord might have something else for you that might be a little bit deeper. And for yesterday's study that was on Wednesday, you know, there might be some more deeper things that the Lord wants to show you there. So praise and glory to God.
Amen.
You know, I'd like to say something else about that, because, you know, sometimes you get a, like my son had on Tuesday, you get some information of what the Lord showed you about something that jumped on you. And I don't know, you go a little woo-woo sometimes, and you get, I don't know what kind of word to use there, but the Lord is just, he's exercising that gift you have of discernment about, because you identified it. You see, you knew that this was a problem that was in you, and he's telling you
well, you got to use your sword now to get rid of this. You know, you got to go to that, you know, step on that serpent or that scorpion or that frog spirit or whatever spirit it is, you know. So you have authority to tread upon serpents, scorpions, and over all the power of the enemy, so that nothing and no one shall hurt you. So it's showing you that you're getting, I don't know if the word is excited about this or a little not nervous, of course, because you're not having anxiety. You just sometimes think the bad thing because you got attacked again by the devil saying, ah, see, you're not a good Christian or something. And then that's a double attack now. And what you're supposed to do is, no, this is my discerning spirit. I discern this. So now I can get rid of you. So that's the way it works, people. You know when you're being tempted, as it says in James chapter 1. And you have authority. So these are the things that God has given you as a spiritual gift. Is discernment. You need that discernment because you need to use your sword. And sometimes I don't know the word to use when it shows that this is something that's against your spirit, man, and your flesh is trying to react to it. And you go, oh, I need prayer, you know, and you might need prayer, but you identified it because you told us what you need prayer for. So we all whack the sword on this thing that's disrupting part of our body because we love you guys. I hope that makes sense. Anyway, so praise the Lord God for that. It's all God. If he does it all, his Holy Spirit is omnipresent, and that proves that to be true also. Praise and glory to God.
Amen. Well, thank you, Andrew, for that. All right, anybody else on those two verses? For God is my witness, whom I serve in my spirit in the gospel of his Son, how unceasingly I make mention of you, always in my prayers, making requests, if by any means now at length I may be prospered by the will of God to come on you. He's wanting to come over there, isn't he? Later on, we'll see why. Thank you, Lord. All right. Anybody else on those two verses? I can request, if by any means now at length I may be prospered by the will of God to come unto you. So he's telling us that, you know, the Spirit of God can tell me to come, I'll come. He wants to be prospered with that. It's an unusual way of explaining it, isn't it? I wonder why I use prosper. Anybody got an idea? Okay, well, let's go on to 11. We may have to come back to that a little bit later. For I long to see you, that I may impart unto you some spiritual gift, to the end you may be established. That is, that I with you may be comforted in you, each of us, by the other's faith, both yours and mine. So, why does he long to see him? Go ahead, Andrew.
That word mutual, it mutual faith, you know, it's, if you just meditate on that mutual and what he had to do, you have to remember he's trying to impart to them the spiritual gift. And the Lord does give us his gifts. And he gives sometimes more than one. And it's good to have this gift. You know, sometimes people have a gift. They don't even know they had it. Like I told an example there. And I doubt very much that the church that I was in at that time could have explained this to me, because I don't even think it was a full gospel church. I can't remember the timing of this, but he reminded me of this today. And anyway, yeah, so this mutual faith, you know, because he's an apostle, he's got like a lot of fruit. And he's the one, he actually explained in Corinthians all these spiritual gifts, you know. So he must have had all these gifts. So the mutualness of the fellowship that he's going to have with them is going to impart these gifts to these Romans also. And that's also, there's another verse a little down further about the fruits and which is, in my thought, more superior. The fruits are more superior than the gifts. The gifts are wonderful to have which are given to you to glorify God, and God gets all the glory anyway when they have. So because when a person comes on and recognizes that he has this gift because he recognizes that God gave him the discernment that something was coming on him, then we all pray. But sometimes the person also must learn that they have authority, okay, and they use their authority, because sometimes when you go to confess something like that, you go, oh yeah, I have that, so I could do that now too, because you agree with that mutual prayer. See, mutual prayer is also, so there's quite a bit to this word mutual. If you just meditate on it, I think it's a wonderful word, well placed in this particular area right now. It's just wonderful. Praise God.
Amen. What word did you say? Did you say mutual?
Yeah. Well, in the, it says here in the numeric, for I long to see you, that I may impart to you some spiritual gifts, and unto your being established, and this is that I wish you be comforted, of course, and the comforter is the one who's going to do it in you, each by our mutual faith, both yours and mine. I think you read to there, right, Michael?
Yes, I did.
And
yeah, but it's a little bit different in the ASV, but yeah, it's the same thing.
Yeah, this mutual is, you know, might be the insurance company, Mutual of Omaha or whatever, but it's mutual, and it's a corporate body action of, I think, of all those seven ones in Ephesians 4:4, one body, one spirit, one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, which kind of comes against, you don't want to blaspheme these ones with division, with denomination, with division, because division is not a fruit of the spirit, it's a fruit of the flesh. You can look it up in Galatians chapter 5. And so mutualness comes against division, and it comes against faction. And if you read one of the smallest letters, I think it's 2 John, from 9 to 11. I just realized it's 9:11.
you will have a wonderful verses there that are against faction, because it says something there in the 11th verse that you're not supposed to let these people into your house. And that's not this room here, because you couldn't have anyone come over to fix your plumbing or anything. So it or do your drapes or something. It's the house of your temple. It's what you call a moving temple, a tabernacle. And they're already blaspheming some of those moving temples out there. So as it says in Revelation chapter 13, in the first beast. So I don't think we're there yet, but at that point in history, but it has to be progressively going in a negative way because of the last page of the Bible, talking about unrighteous, and let him be more unrighteous. And he was filthy land, he filthy still. But of course, we want to be righteous and righteous still and holy still, and we're promised righteousness and holiness. So anyway, that mutual, if there's a mutual on both sides, one on the left hand and one on the right hand. And you know, when you go to those verses there, you want the correct mutual faith, because there is an opposing faith, and it's not the right fit. It's not the faith in God. They have a different word, and it's not mutual with God. But that's the one we want to be mutual with, and it's his faith anyway, because he says to have God's faith, in whom we have boldness and access and confidence unto his faith. So mutual faith. And this faith thing is kind of described in those other verses up there, where it's graced unto us and it's functioning through us. Praise and glory to God.
Yeah, Julie, go ahead.
I was looking at that verse in verse 10 where it says, by any means, now at length, I may be prospered by the will of God to come unto you. I think that word prospered means to, you know, have, you know, it's by God's will. So it's like it's his favor that God, by his will, would allow them, him to come to them in Rome. And because the next verse, he longs for them and he wants to impart some gift of, you know, some spiritual gift, you know, for their advantage, you know, that they be established. And I think that just means to be edified or to be strengthened, or it's kind of like when we come together and we share our faith with each other, we share our testimonies with somebody. You know, it helps somebody else. It helps the body. It's kind of like the spiritual gifts being in operation when we come together as a group. That's kind of how I see those verses coming together in the natural, for me anyhow, is kind of how I relate that. You know, when you share your faith with somebody, you know, you're everybody's edified. Everyone's built up. Everyone's encouraged by something.
Yeah. Thank you, Lord. All right, anyone else? Well, that makes sense in verse 12, that I with you may be comforted in you, each of us, by the other's faith. Yeah, both yours and mine. All right. Verse 13, and I would not have you ignorant, brother, that oftentimes I purposed to come unto you, but was hindered hitherto, that I might have some fruit in you also, even as in the rest of the Gentiles. All right, why is he telling them he doesn't want them to be ignorant? And ignorant just means without knowledge. Well, let's go over and see what it says. That I would not have you ignorant, brethren, that oftentimes I purpose to come unto you and was hindered hitherto, that I might have some fruit in you also, even as in the rest of the Gentiles. Yeah, Mary.
Let's see. The fruit that he's talking about here is the spiritual gifts that he was speaking about in verse 11, I think. So he's going to impart, you know, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, etc., into those people. So the spiritual gifts and the fruit are the same thing. He's talking about the same thing here.
Like this. Yep. Anybody else? Paul is talking about, like Barry said, some fruit in you also, even as in the rest of the Gentiles. In other words, he's admonishing them a little bit. But I need to see some fruit in you, Noah. I want to see some fruit in you. That I might have some fruit in you also, even as in the rest of the Gentiles. Anybody got anything they want to add to that? So apparently, the rest of some of these Gentiles that he's talking about are bearing fruit of Jesus. Go ahead, Andrew.
You know, I sometimes wonder if the fruit is also the fruits of the Spirit, too, because we have to grow in that. See, we have the love, the first fruits of the Holy Spirit, and this is still pretty much brand new to some of these Romans. You know, there could be some very young people there who have to be instructed on the fruits of the Spirit as well as the gifts of the Spirit. So, and he was hindered too from going there because, you know, he in the book of Acts, you can see how he got snake bit, you know, and he threw the snake in the fire. So there's quite a bit that tried to hinder him from getting there to get to Rome. As you saw the whole story there, from the time he was put under house arrest in Jerusalem and he was going to go to Rome. So even the boat trip over. So, right? And well, something else. Well, I can't remember now. So praise and glory to God.
Okay. Yeah, Bonita, go ahead.
Yeah, I'm not very familiar with like his missionary journeys. I was just looking at the maps in the back of my Bible, and if this was written in 57 AD, it says here that was like when he was on his third missionary journey. And just, I don't know, just looking at the maps, it looks like he hadn't been to Rome in any of his journeys. So I guess I'm just, had he ever met them before, or was he just writing to them from having heard about them?
Got the answer to that? Yeah, sure.
If you read the book of Acts, it kind of talks about that, how, you know, how he ended up going to Rome. But no, he hadn't been there yet. And I think that talks about like how he was hindered. Where does he say that verse? I was hindered from coming to you. I purposed to come to you.
He never actually met them yet. He'd just heard about them.
He wanted to go to Rome.
Heard it through the grapevine. All right, go ahead, Benjamin.
In regards to the timeline as to when he went to Rome, I just was talking with my dad, and I was like, I'm pretty sure he was beheaded in Rome. So I'm pretty sure that was his last little...
In the outskirts of Rome.
So I'm sure that was his last little excursion. So...
But it says in the Book of Acts he always longed to go to Rome.
He always longed to go to Rome. And he's
repeating it here in the Book of Acts. And you can see the actual timeline when he did go to Rome. And that's why it said he got snake bit and threw the snake on that island there and threw it in the fire. Yeah.
And my lady. Okay. So we've established that he wants to see some fruit from it, just like he has with the Gentiles, other Gentiles that he's met. He says, he goes on to say, I am debtor both to Greeks and to barbarians, both to the wise and the foolish. And to the foolish. So as much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to you also that are in Rome. Got to answer me about that. I am ready. Lord of God, if you let me come, I'll preach the gospel to you. Why did he say I'm debtor both to Greeks and to the barbarians? Both into the wise and to the foolish. Why did he say that? Go ahead, Benjamin.
Yeah, I just want to state the foolish one. I'll go for the foolish. Someone else can go for the other one. Anyways, this foolish is, you know, foolish is usually associated with a person who doesn't believe in God. But this foolish is a good fool. Okay, he's a good fool. He's written there in Proverbs chapter 26, where it says in 4 and 5 that you're not supposed to rebuke a fool, and then you're supposed to rebuke a fool, and then some of these worldly people say, see, the Bible contradicts itself. And that's not what he's talking about. One of these fools is the worldly wise man, and the other fool is a brand new Christian. So this is a Christian who is a young Christian. So it could be, as it says in Romans chapter 14, you know, he even gets service from the youngest of us. You know, it says there that these young ones can give you a cup of cold water, and you know, you get that reward. When you're around a righteous man, you get a righteous man's reward. If you're around a prophet, you get a prophet's reward. So, The foolish guy here is a good guy. He's not loopy in his head or anything. He knows the Lord, and the Lord lives in him. Praise the glory to God.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Benjamin, did you want to say something?
No.
Okay. All right. Go ahead, Joe.
Could that be in the next verse, or a bit later on, we talk about the Jew and the Greek? In other words, that's believers, both of them, in other words, believers. And we're talking here about Greek and barbarian. Could that be also be Christian and the worldly people?
That's okay. Did you answer that, Andrew?
Sorry, Michael.
I'm listening.
No, I'm just thinking about the Greek and barbarian. Could that be Christian and non-Christian? And
well, barbarian, No. Barbarian is not a Christian, I would think.
No, no. Greek is a Christian. Barbarian is worldly people. If we're talking about Jew and Greek, we're talking about physical Jews and spiritual Jews, I think.
Okay. Let's see what, where is it?
Hello. Hey, so when it says that, that's okay. 50-50 shot there. It says, so I'm debtor to both the Greeks and the barbarians, both to the wise and the foolish. And I think it's saying the same thing as Greeks wise and barbarians foolish. I think it's pointing back to itself. If you look at 1 Corinthians 1:22, it says, seeing the Jews ask for signs and Greeks seek after wisdom. I think they seen themselves as wise. And I think really, like I say, it's just pointing back to itself as how would you say it as far as the status of peoples? But what I think Paul is really saying is he is a debtor to all of all classes and all peoples is really what it's saying. But that's just my opinion.
Okay. Go ahead, Andrew.
I agree. I don't discard the fact that some of these fools might have been real fools too, but just by looking at the previous line to this, he's talking about fruit being given to these people. And it should be line upon line. And the line prior to this is talking about them getting some fruit. So I would assume that these Greeks and barbarians are Christians, because how he could be a debtor if you could use that
Did that freeze up? They froze up. Okay. Well, we'll hop over to Missy right quick. Did I get unfrozen?
Well, when he says, I am debtor both to Greeks and barbarians, debtor is like someone that owes somebody something, right? So he's like saying, I owe it to them to preach the gospel to them, just like he says in the next verse. So as much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to you also that are in Rome. You know, he's just saying, it's a funny way, and I'm not quite sure why he says he owes it to them. I mean, I guess maybe he's saying that the Romans aren't any more important, like, but kind of like what Isaac's point was, is, you know, it doesn't matter. God's not a respecter of persons or races or whatever. He owes it to them just as much as to the Romans to preach the gospel to them too, you know, that the Romans are no better than they are, you know. Kind of like Isaac was saying, preach the gospel. The Great Commission is going to all the world, you know. So that's kind of how he owes it to them. And maybe they don't think so, but God does. He owes it to them, you know, to preach the gospel to them. Because if he doesn't, you know, who knows, you know, only God knows if somebody else is going to come along and preach the gospel to him, you know. I mean, certainly the Lord wants all to hear the gospel, but okay, I'm done. I don't want to start talking forwards and backwards, but.
All right. I kind of lean toward that. Go ahead, dude.
No, that's that's kind of what I was thinking, Missy, is, you know, he was commissioned as an apostle to go preach the gospel to the whole world. And it doesn't matter who they are, they, you know, Greek, barbarian, you know, the wise and the foolish. It's like, if they have ears to hear and God gives them the grace to hear it, you know, we don't know who the elect are. You know, we don't know who a real Jew is. So it's kind of like, preach it to the whole world, everybody. And it's kind of like the thief on the cross, right? One of, you know, either you're with me or you're for me, so you don't know who's who.
Yeah. Okay. All right, go ahead, Barry. Y'all carry on. I got to take care of something right quick.
Okay. The word there, debtor, I think in modern language we'd use indebted. I am indebted both to Greeks and barbarians. And I think what that is, he was given a mission, a job from Jesus to preach the gospel. And these people, through their unsaved state, gave him the opportunity to fulfill his mission. So he's thanking them that they gave him the opportunity to learn the gospel and to find out about Jesus, which was his mission. That's all.
It's kind of like what Paul says in 1 Corinthians 9:16. For if I preach the gospel, I have nothing to glory of, for necessity is laid upon me. For woe is unto me if I preach not the gospel. So let me see here if there's other, what are the, I was like, isn't there some place where he says, woe unto me if I don't preach the gospel? It's like, I didn't know where it was. So, yeah, so I found that, but
okay. So did we get that squared away?
So, you know, guys, woe unto you if you're not going to have any input here.
All right, now we'll get into the good part. Go ahead, Debbie.
Yeah, I just wanted to say that my translation says, I am under obligation. So what Barry was sharing, I am under obligation to do so. Preach the gospel. I like that
translation. Which one do you have? Which translation?
I have the updated new ASC, updated New American Standard.
RESV.
Updated New American Standard. Okay. UNAS.
I've heard of that one.
Updated New American Standard.
Okay. All right. Okay. That sounds pretty good. Anybody else on that particular word? Go ahead, Peter.
Oh, boy. Deb, I hope that's not the United Nations American Standard. When you said UN, I thought, oh, no. She got the wrong.
No. I'm clean.
No, I was just going to say, I feel like even David, in one of the revelations that he was sharing yesterday, it was about I can't remember exactly, but the gist of it was, you know, how are they going to know about Christ if we don't go tell them about Christ? We have to go tell them. And I sat there and I thought, nobody wants to hear it from me. I try to tell them, nobody wants to hear it from me, though. I don't know. It just seems like everybody's always shutting me in. Like, oh, Vanita, we don't, you know, I don't know. They just don't want to hear it from me. So, Lord, just send people that need to hear it, Lord. Send them our way so that we can share it with them. Praise the Lord. Amen.
Go ahead, Marilyn.
This is for Vanita. But Vanita, your life is a living epistle. So they get it whether they, act like they want to hear it or not. You live it around them, and they're getting more than what you realize. That's all.
Yeah, Andrew, go ahead.
Well, in this version, it says, so as much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel. And this is an apostle, and we know what he had in him. Because you better have this one in you too. Because how much of the Lord did this apostle have in him, seeing that this word is now almost 2,000 years old and it's still here? So we attain to this word quite a bit. That's why we read it and study it. And the apostle even tells us that we have to read his word and study to show yourself approved. So I think a good obedience there on this. And plus, he's just going to give you righteousness because you hunger for it. It's like when you got saved, you knew you needed a Bible. And you went and bought one. In the case of my son, he showed up at my door one day. And that was a very nice day. Praise and glory to God.
Amen. All right. Romans chapter 1, verse 16. For I am not ashamed of the gospel. For it is God's power unto salvation to every believer, to Jew first, also to Greek. For herein is being revealed God's righteousness from faith unto faith, as it is written. But the righteous man shall live by faith. Why is it that he has to exclaim that he's not ashamed of the gospel? Yeah, dude.
The verse before it says, so as much as in me, I am ready to preach the gospel to you also that are in Rome. Because he's not ashamed of it. So he knows it's the power of God, you know.
So he's also telling us, instructing us not to be ashamed to get that gospel out. The gospel, of course, is the good news about Jesus Christ. And he also says, let me just go ahead and let Andrew talk. Let me go ahead, buddy.
That's in Romans 5 and 5, it says, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Romans 5 and 5, it's, hope putteth not to shame, for the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost. So there's a not a shame there either. And it's through that very important gift that never fails. It's the first fruit of the Holy Spirit. And it contradicts the first fruit of the flesh, because the first fruit of the flesh is saying that God's word is a vanity. It has no meaning. So we love, according to the fleshy people who have fornication, something that has no meaning to them. But we love this word, and we obey it. And that Romans 5 and 5 has a meaning to this, not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Hope putteth not to shame, for the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. And your heart is something you have to love the Lord your God with
with all your heart and with all your mind, with all your soul. And of course, the bearing of fruit in your soul is very important. It shows that you are an overcomer and that you are having fruit birthed in your soul, as it says in another place, John. And this not ashamed is a birth of that fruit, you know, that, you know, when it says love, we know it to be obedience, but it's pretty much everything that is good, and which is another fruit of the Spirit, and faithful. And it's the fruit of the Spirit when it's blessings also, I would say, because righteousness that you hunger for and which you're going to be persecuted for his sake is accumulates all the grace you can get. The righteous shall live. And it's not your life, it's the new man's life that's living. And the word of God lives, because we are told living is the word of God, active. And that activeness is your garment, your righteous garment. So, you know, blessed are those who have washed their robes. But sometimes you wonder, it's not you washing the robe, it's the love that's doing it. And blessed are those that have washed their robes, it's because it's you're not ashamed, and it's the power of God that's doing it, that's manifesting in you and bearing fruit in you, making you an overcomer. We sing about being an overcomer. So that's what happens. It's not of ourselves, you know. Our sufficiency is from God. It's not our own sufficiency. We don't commend ourselves, and it's God who commends us. It's all by grace. It's given to us. It's past tense, as we discussed earlier when we saw that word grace, and all the grace that's given to you is past tense, because in John chapter 1, it says so. It says, because of his fullness, we all received grace upon grace. So it's all given to you. You know, they have this thing in the church. And they were discussing this on the study about going to the altar. And then they go back to their seat and they think they're done. I'm fully baked. You know, I'm a Christian. I don't have to do anything else. But, you know, I have yet to hear any pastor tell the people that this physical altar you go to is a spiritual altar, and you never leave it, because it's your altar of grace. Even as it says in Romans 5:1, and, you know, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through Jesus Christ our Lord. And by that faith, we have access unto his grace, wherein we stand. It's a place you stand, and you never leave that altar, even when you go to bed at night. You're always in it. Because if it's something that you already received, grace upon grace, and it's progressive, in that verse there somewhere in John chapter 1, then you never leave that grace to gain more faith, because we're about to get to the progressive faith verse. So I hope I didn't ramble on there. I even forgot where I started. So I'm sorry. So praise and glory to God.
No, you did good. Yes, Barry.
Yeah, the middle of verse 16 about the gospel. The gospel, it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. There are so many denominations that want to drag a whole bunch of other stuff in there. You know, like I have friends that are Catholics, and they will tell you, we don't have sola scriptura, which is the you know, their fancy way of saying they don't believe just the Bible. They got to drag all this other stuff in too. Well, here in the Bible, it says this is it. This is all you need. This is the power of God into salvation, not all this other stuff, not all this boilerplate of all these, you know, meetings and consensus of people, you know, hundreds of years ago. It's the gospel that's the power of God into salvation. So that's a real powerful statement he's made there.
Yes, it is. It sure is. Nothing else matters. Go ahead, Isaac. Thank you, Barry.
Yeah, two things. Like Barry said, you know, from not ashamed of the gospel, for the power of God into salvation to everyone that believeth. Well, in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 20 says, for the kingdom of God is not in word, but in power. And I think that the power of God is a witness of the truth of the gospel, right? And we know Jesus' witness was true because God's power backed his word up. But I'll say this too. This is an experience I had just this week about being ashamed of the gospel or not being ashamed thereof. I had to go buy a dual stage capacitor for my AC unit because it went out. My fan wouldn't, it's a start run capacitor, but it wouldn't start, but I could hit the fan and then it'd run, right? So I gotta go to Granger and buy me a capacitor. So I went there and, Granger's like an industrial store. It's actually the first time I've ever been there. I order stuff from them all the time, but I went there and I was sitting there working with a person to get me the right stuff. And, this fella walked in and he had blue hair. He had, I'm not kidding you. He had blue hair, dark complected fellow. He had, he was wearing huge glasses that had fur all around them, just fur everywhere. I'm not kidding. A very boisterous, very loud. And they say, hey, how you doing? And I'm trying to remember what he said real loud in front of everybody. He goes, I'm blessed by the best. And if I forget the rest, or no, so I'm blessed by the best and I hope for the rest. And then another person said, hey, what's up, man? He goes, I'm blessed by the best and hope for the rest, right? He was just real loud. Everybody's like, oh, okay. Anyways, he checked his stuff out. You know, I really didn't pay attention to him. I didn't really care, but he walked out, or as he's walking out, one of the guys, he said something. I guess he said that again. He said, hey, have a nice day. And he said some other rhyme. And the worker goes, yeah, I could use a prayer. That guy stopped in his tracks, turned around. He said, you know what? I can do that for you. And he went. And I'm going to be honest with you, man. This came up in my heart because I watched him and I felt the Lord, you know, and it wasn't like a correction at me. It was just the Lord was making me aware of the very thing that I've read in the word that I'm seeing it with my own eyes now, you know. We say to a person, and not that we, but, you know, people say to a person in vile clothing, set thou here underneath my footstool, right? As they would do this man. Trust me when I say that. And then, or the guy in nice clothing, sit here next to me. Well, this would be the guy that those people would say, sit down here at my footstool, right? But let me tell you, he came over and he prayed a powerful prayer. You know, I don't have to think about anything. I don't have to even think within my mind, oh, is he living it or is he this? Because immediately that thought will try to come because that's the enemy. And I cast it down. Boom. Nope. Casting that one down because I don't really care about that. Is there power in the prayer and is there truth? And is it a witness to that man? Right. And man, he prayed a prayer. And you know what? While listening to him, he looked at that guy who the coworker that asked for prayer and you could feel the, there was people real awkward about it in the store. Everybody was like, oh, everybody just kind of stopped. And I was really listening to him. And the guy goes, he started rebuking the curse off this man's life. He goes, I rebuke the curse off your family's life, off your life. He goes, what do you say? He goes, because you are bought by the blood of Jesus Christ, the unblemished lamb. And I was like, all those prayers were things that I would say. That's really good. And so he left. And, one guy said a derogatory statement afterward, one coworker. The other guy who asked for prayer was really polite and graceful about it, and bless him for that. And I looked at the guy as he's walking. I said, that was a really good prayer. And I said, you know what was special about that? That guy was really bold. I said, I think I just learned a lesson about that. He's not ashamed. And I need to remember that. And he goes, you know that? Yeah, I was thinking the same thing too. And I was like, man, yeah, thank you, Lord. So that was just something I seen this week. And I really think that the Lord showed me multiple things there. And that man wasn't ashamed of the gospel. He wasn't ashamed of anything. He had blue hair, right? That's okay.
Well, praise God.
But he certainly wasn't ashamed of the gospel. And you know what? It just kind of meant something to me. That's all.
Amen. Amen. It's awesome when you see somebody that you least expect come out with a powerful Holy Ghost, spirit-filled prayer like that.
Yeah, awesome. No doubt.
Thank you, Father. Go ahead, Fiora, Lana.
Yeah, the righteous shall live by faith, whether they be Greek or barbarian or Jew or Gentile, right? Awesome. Yeah, I was going to share a similar story that, you know, I personally experienced shame back in the day. Probably throughout my entire Christian upbringing, I was ashamed because I had no power. Of course, I was just a chump, you know, and I didn't have true faith either. And it wasn't taught to us. We just said, oh, believe. And by believing, you go to church, you listen to the pastor. That's faith. You know, that's what it is. And so when it came to, you know, push came to shove, we were like, well, yeah, sure, I believe it, but I'm not going to go out of my way because I don't have authority and I don't have boldness, right? So Paul's saying he's not ashamed because he knows what he believes in. He believes it with all of his heart. He knows. It's faith that the Lord gave him. Because he had the truth revealed to him, and now we are in the truth. So if we're ashamed, then we are not confident in our faith. We're not confident, and we're not being bold because we're like the double-minded, you know, being tossed around like the wind. So it's good. It's good that the Lord puts us in these situations where he tests us, you know. Are we ashamed? Are we confident in the Lord? And in the faith that he's given us. So yeah, I learned that too late in life, I feel like, because I spent 20 plus years in the Russian church and we didn't know what faith was. You know, it was talked to us about being good, going to church. That was faith, you know. So, but we had shame too. So something was off. So praise the Lord for his revealing to us the truth. And now, man, praise the Lord. Anytime we have the opportunity, may God just give us that courage and boldness and not falter. I know no one's perfect, but in Christ, we are perfect. In Jesus' name, thank you, Lord. Amen.
Thank you, Lord. Praise God for us. Hallelujah. Amen. Thank you, Father, for boldness to speak that gospel whenever it's needed. In Jesus' name, we praise you, Lord, that you're doing it.